You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Welcome to the Branding with Purpose podcast, where we interview successful entrepreneurs on how their purpose has led to an impactful personal brand. I am so excited that you joined me today. I'm your host, Shantha Wetterhahn. Today's episode is sponsored by Up to Me Magazine. You can find the self-empowerment magazine at www.up2memagazine.com. We just love Up to Me Magazine. We're so thankful for their sponsorship, and be sure to check them out. Today, I am so very excited to be interviewing someone that I've been watching for a while now on social media. Her name is Socially Nina Thomas. She is a digital marketing influencer and the CEO and author of Learned It .online, an online training hub for small businesses and the not-so-techie-savvy entrepreneur. Nina gained notoriety in the early 2000s after leveraging two decades in information technology, project management, and business analysis into an entrepreneurial resource focused on training. She is the creator of Pink Boss Club, founded as Business Masterminds, a Facebook group which has motivated her clients to master video production, business workflows, digital marketing campaigns, and social media content management. Nina, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
Oh, great. Awesome. Well, so how's your week going so far, Nina?
It's good. I'm actually getting a lot done and working with a couple clients this week, so it's always exciting to see other women just, you know, doing their thing in the digital world and running their businesses.
Absolutely. So what kind of clients do you work with? Do you typically work with small business, medium business, corporations?
So you know what's funny is I have three different audiences. And I try not to talk about one with the other, but I have my first group, most of them are Pink Boss Club, and on YouTube, they're solopreneurs. So they're just getting started. They have passion for what they do. They really know what they want to do, but they don't really know the tech and the online part of marketing. So that's one group. The second group, they're people who've been in business probably about 5 years or more. They usually have a small team, business coaches, authors, speakers, and I actually support them in training their team and getting them set. And then separately, I actually still go into corporate America and train for things like Microsoft, Box. That's where my heart is. And so those are usually small businesses.
Awesome. I love that. And the fact that you have a diverse client base, it's so important this day and age, and also that you are not just limiting yourself to helping one type of professional, because we all need help. And I heard you mention your YouTube channel. I saw on Facebook that you reached, like, you now have about 4,000 likes on that YouTube, 4,000 followers, and then you hit another milestone. What was that other milestone you hit with your? What's the milestone you hit with that YouTube channel?
So this is the thing. I have I hit over 400,000 views, which I love, because even if you know, no matter how many followers you have, you want people to view your stuff. And then I'm about 50 people away from 4,000, and my goal for this year is 5,000. So I have about 2 months before I can hit that 5,000 follower mark. So I'm excited about that.
That's awesome. I know how hard it is to grow a YouTube channel, so I know you know what you're doing if you have that many views and you're 50 people away from having 4,000 followers. So that is wonderful. Congratulations on that big milestone.
Thank you.
It's just
Thank
the tip
you.
Of the iceberg. So, yes, congratulations. So let's talk about you. I know that you know, in our pre-interview, we were chatting a little bit about you fairly recently leaving corporate America back in March. Let us know
yes.
how that transition has worked out for you, and also how has social media played a role in you growing your personal brand now that you've left corporate America?
Both great questions. I'm thinking like, wow. So, one, I feel like I'm still transitioning because it's a whole new world to leave your job, and it's exciting, and you hear all these things about people doing it and all this money they're making, and, you know, but what they don't tell you about is like picking insurance and having an accountant and, you know, putting yourself on a different budget and creating your own schedule. So it's funny. I feel like I'm on a trial every couple months of trying something different to grow my business, to grow personally, and reminding myself why I quit my job. And so incorporating personal care and a day to do my hair and, you know, things like that, and not feeling guilty, not working. So that's something that I'm working on, is because I really did it because I want that balance of being able to call my mom in the middle of the day, or, you know, leave and visit a friend, but they'll get my work done. So for me, it's all new. It's still weird saying I quit my job. And as far as having a personal brand, social media and having personal brand basically is the reason why I was able to quit my job. That's where I find my clients. That's where I connect with people, my mentors. That's where I, you know, really get to use my passion is training. And whether that's YouTube or Facebook or just face-to-face, it just allows me to reach people that I never would have met if I were just going to networking events or just trying to talk to people in my neighborhood. So for me, social media has been a gift to me in actually allowing me to leave corporate America.
Wonderful. Awesome. Yeah, I have the same experience. I left corporate America back in 2014. And when I was leaving, one of the first thing I did was get certified in what I do in digital strategy. And the second thing I did was actually position myself online, because I knew I wanted to do something in digital strategy with for other people, to help other people. And so I put myself, like, I you know, of course, got a Twitter account, which I don't use as much these days, and LinkedIn, which is my number one generator for sales right now. You know, I made sure that I positioned myself. I honed my brand. I had to kind of, you know, speak to my target market and show
right.
them that I'm actually doing for myself what I want them to pay me for to do for them, and doing it well. So it has been a wonderful platform to grow. And I think you're absolutely right. You first have to kind of position yourself across social media before you really, you know, make that leap. So I think that's awesome.
Yes,
now
definitely.
Let's start talking about your Facebook group. When did you start that group? And how has that really impacted your growth as an entrepreneur?
You know, it's funny. I knew you were going to ask that, and I was trying to think when I started it. And I want to say it was 2014. Well, it had to be 2014, 2015. And when I first started, I actually called it Business Mastermind, because I wanted to appeal to both females and males and sound very, you know, prestigious. And, you know, I'm thinking back and I'm just laughing that I wanted everyone to love this group. And I think I remember I had a picture of a man, and I was using blue at the time. But it's now called the Pink Boss Club, because I actually have a very distinct audience. And it's funny, because I started my group and I started my YouTube channel about the same time. And it just, I think together my group grew my YouTube channel, my YouTube channel grew my group, and it just kind of became one and the same. And then they both started sprouting. So it's just, that's where I spend most of my time online, is in my group with, you know, I was with my people, with my bosses, because I just feel like there's so much good energy there and people just helping each other through this journey that we go through called entrepreneurship.
Absolutely. I love how you started off explaining the growth of your group and that you were at one place at one point with the group. You had an initial vision, and then you actually honed that vision. So it sounds like you identified your target market, and you identified who you wanted to serve, and your branding, your messaging, and then your all that grew. Your group even grew once you were able to engage with the specific people that were, you know, that were working with you, that were rocking with you, so to speak. Is that how it all worked out?
And I was guilty of this. I started out with Nina Simone Consulting, and I always use words like we. We here at Nina Simone Consulting can fit your needs, you know, that cookie cutter kind of thing that you wanted, that you thought you wanted someone to look at you as a larger company. And I started taking courses, and I started taking personal branding courses. I started taking, I did everything. I went to every conference. I went to, you know, I signed up for all the freebies. I was the one staying up late at night. You know, I poured a lot of money into myself, into, you know, these programs and just figuring out what people are doing, but I took out what I needed. And what I figured out was that I have to be truthful with who I am. I'm one person. These are my skills, and this is who I want to work with, and this is who I can serve the most. And once I started really being real with who I was and being able to express to other people, not using, I was still using that corporate talk, you know, that you use and using those words that you wouldn't use from the day-to-day basis. But when I started being myself and answering questions the way I really felt, that's when I think my brand grew. I made genuine connections with people. And then I was able to, you know, really serve my ICA or my ideal client avatar. And it was women 35 to 45 who really had a passion for helping people, but that just didn't know how to leverage technology to save the money and time. And so once I really started clicking with that, I just everything kind of took off from there.
Absolutely. Yeah, that authenticity is key. I have a similar experience where, you know, when I first, and it's a process. It's not that you did anything wrong, right, when you first started. You have to work through that and kind of get to that point where you realize that, you know, in order to really get to where you want to be, you have to convey authenticity. And for me, I had an evolution as well where I really, leaving corporate America, in those roles, I had a lot of sales roles. And, you know, I kind of felt like I had to fake it before I made it.
Yes.
And
use
the we statements and use the, you know, the legalese, the language of corporate America. And that stuff did not translate well when I was trying to build solid relationships as a new business owner. So I really had to get to the bottom and figure, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't have to show up in a suit to network. I don't have to, you know, be,
exactly.
You know, I can show up in business casual. I had to figure out I'm the girl next door. I'm not mm-hmm. your Uber professional. I'm down to earth. I'm approachable. And so until I really got to the bottom of that, I really was not making any impact. And maybe I got a client, but it was the client that was sucking my energy dry because it wasn't the type of person that you know, I should have been working with. So, yes, that authenticity is key. And I think the quicker people learn that, the quicker they can grow in their business.
Yeah. And I think
– go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
I think it really – yeah, but I think we all have to go through that and understand who we don't want to work with. And it's funny, during these times, it's all those sayings that you think are cliche, like not all money is good money. But it isn't. And those people that you make exceptions for and that you're not really truly into it and you lower your prices and things like that, those end up being the ones that, like you said, suck your energy out. And it, when you step back, I always think I could be in corporate America doing this. You know, I could have just gotten a paycheck every week doing this. Why not do something, you know, you're connecting with people that are like amazed at how you've helped them and saved them time. And, you know, it's so much more rewarding. Of course, we have to make money, but you have to see beyond that and really figure out who you want to work with.
Absolutely. Now back to your Facebook group. You touched on a little bit about its growth. I want to find out, you know, you have grown a thriving group, and there are a lot of people that I could have interviewed today about their Facebook groups. There are thousands and thousands of Facebook groups out there. I'm probably a part of quite a few of those, and there are only a few, Jay Stone being one of them, and also your group, a couple other, maybe a handful that I'm actually, you know, I check in with. They're thriving. The conversations are going and flowing. People are actually commenting and collaborating and sharing. You're active and engaged. You know, how do you get there, especially speaking to people who want to start a group but just don't know how to go from point A to point B and growing a really dynamic and thriving group?
So I think that can be broken down into two parts. One is how to grow it, and two is how to keep it and keep it up and keep people excited. I personally started out with freebies. Once I figured out exactly what people wanted, I created a freebie. I think it was a Canva. My first freebie was Canva, and I poured money into ads. Now, it wasn't thousands and thousands of dollars, but if I had $100 extra that month or $200, I found what worked. And for me, the best thing was videos, doing a video ad and letting people know that they what they needed and what I can offer. And once they signed up for that freebie, if you need some more help or you want to find other entrepreneurs like yourself, join my group. And then after that, during my training, I would say, hey, now that you've created this, go post this in the group and let us know. Or if you have questions, post it in the group and I will help you. So it wasn't just here's a freebie. It was more like, no, you're part of us now. Come here so we can help you. And so I used the group kind of like a support system, because I feel like, you know, we all kind of need support and everything along the way, you know, the thank you message, the email messages, no matter what I did, everything related to my group. If they were on my mailing list, I would share something and say, hey, go back to the group and, you know, this is what we're talking about. And then to keep it thriving, what I would do is when people asked questions, it was easier to just do a video. So I would go to YouTube and you'll see my earlier videos. If you ever watch them, they'll say, you know, this is a question from the Business Masterminds. This is from Charlene, or, you know, I'd say their name and I would just answer their question. And in that video, I would invite people to the, you know, to the group. So it was a cycle of what do you need? I'll give it to you. And my goal wasn't, hey, how can I make money for my group? My goal was, how can I get people in here so they know that there's other people that support them and that are going through this? And through the years, and it's funny saying that, I've had it for a couple of years, what I've done is I've listened to the group. And if I'm doing something and people don't like it, or if I notice a trend, like I'll get on and I'll say, hey, you guys, you're quiet. Why? What's going on? And I found out maybe 80, 90% of my people are introverts. And so then I talk about having strength on film or, you know, on camera. And so it becomes a cycle of, now you're connected. This is your tribe. You have to take care of them. And so I dip in there. I do some surveys. I don't keep it just about business. I ask them to do selfies. I ask them to do, you know, all of these things so we can connect on a person-to-person level, not just, you know, here's your business tip, but just making sure I'm providing value and people feel like it's a safe place for them to provide value, because we're all here to help each other.
Wonderful. Awesome. Sounds like you do quite a bit of video. I know you're an expert in video marketing. Do you use, like, do you think people need an expensive camera, fancy lights, and just a whole set for the video? Or can they accomplish these things on their phone? I just want things to be as low maintenance as possible to get people started, you know?
Yeah, so let me tell you a secret. I'm using the same little webcam I used 4 years ago, and it was $50, and that's connected to my laptop. However, I would say the iPhone nowadays, I'm team iPhone, has better, it, not better quality, but it has about the same quality. And so my initial setup was me in the corner with my laptop and using the video camera on the laptop that I got from IKEA. That was $10, nothing else. And then I got on sale, it was a piece of cloth from the thrift store, and that's where the original pink background that I had came from. And I just, you know, hammered it into the wall, and I got a better camera. And then finally I got some lights. I think my first real setup was like $200, and I use that same setup today, you know. But really, if you have an iPhone and you have natural light and you just catch that light, that's all you need. You can edit it on the light on the your iPhone or your phone. You can tape it. People aren't looking for high production quality. They're looking for, can you answer my question? Can you help me? Beyond that, I mean, you know, people don't really care.
Yeah, that's one thing I tell people all the time. Your content trumps quality all day long, because if you are sharing great content, good information, and are engaging and authentic in your delivery, then the quality is totally forgotten about, good or bad, actually.
Yeah.
So
it's not about
those
you,
are some great
and that's
points.
What I always say. It's not about you. It's about your gift that you have to give someone. So when you give someone a gift, you're giving it to them for them to enjoy. It's not like they're thinking about you and, you know, looking at what how you look or how you, you know, it took me a while to get over that. It's like, you know, yes, you have a zit or your hair is not right or, you know, something happened, but that doesn't stop the fact that Facebook has this new feature and everybody wants to know how to use it. So you have to deliver it in a way of, I have a gift, I have something that I need to share with someone, and it's not about me. It's about helping them. And once you get out of your own head, then, you know, you become more comfortable just putting everything out there and not worrying about, you know, having $5,000 cameras to, you know, film a YouTube channel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what are some top tips that you could give someone if they wanted to start a Facebook group tomorrow in order to get that group seen? Because that's one thing. It's one thing to actually start a group. It's another to actually grow your group. So I know you invested in ads. Are there any other tips you can give to actually grow the group?
Yes. And the first thing I'm going to say is, one, before you even start it, you have to prepare yourself. Think of it as like your child, your group, because it's something that it is going to take some energy, but it's so rewarding. So you have to think about what you want to give and what your boundaries are going to be in your group and just yourself. Are you going to, you know, certain days be there, certain days, certain times cut it off, because, you know, it does become kind of your like your family. And so once you decide that you're going to start a group, there's a technical ask. Naming it, I would definitely name it for with your name in it. So if someone's looking up you or your brand, your group will come. So mine's Pink Boss Club with Socially Nina, right? And then when you set it up, that description area, don't skip it, because that's all searchable. That description area, the tags, all of that. For the last 6 months, I actually asked people how they found the group, and their answer almost every time is either YouTube or Facebook suggested it. They'll say Facebook ads, but I don't do ads for my group anymore. So Facebook is sending people to me because of how I name the group, the tags, the description, and the type of people that are in there. So Facebook will start suggesting your group to other people. So make sure the technical aspect is there. And make sure, of course, that you have like a, you know, pretty branding and the banner and things like that. It doesn't have to be expensive. You can go to Fiverr or, you know, try it on Canva or PicMonkey. So that's one when you're starting it. And two, I think a freebie is the best way to start anything when you're doing digital marketing. If you're growing your list, if you're starting a YouTube channel, if you're doing an Instagram challenge, whatever it is, do a freebie that's amazing and put everything into it as if you were selling it. And once you do that, continue to give value. So once you get everybody in your group, ask them if they have questions. ask questions, period. Not just about their business, about who they are and what they do. Survey them. See if your group is changing. My group changed at one point and became a little bit younger. So really get to know the people in your group. And one of the things that people fail to do is ask. You know, ask people to join your group. Ask people to share the group with other people. Put your Facebook link everywhere. So in the bottom of your signature, on your Instagram where it says put your website, put your Facebook group. On your personal Facebook page where you could add links, put a link to your Facebook group. People are nosy. They like to click around. On your Twitter profile, anywhere you are, put a link to your Facebook group instead of your website. Wherever you want to direct people, put it there. So those are my tips, is just using everything else around you. If you're sending out email messages, make sure and mention to come to the group. If you're posting on Instagram, remind them that you're carrying on the discussion in the group. And then once you do that, once you're in there, you can't just set it and forget it. I know a lot of people do, you know, Monday through Friday, here's our daily things. And I do that, but then every once in a while I switch it up. But you have to go in there and personally at different times ask questions, talk about topics, inbox your members sometimes, ask them, you know, why they enjoy the group or why they don't enjoy the group or, you know, why they aren't commenting. But you really have to get to know them. And as you build those relationships, I've had people that have been in my group for years and I feel like I know them. So you really just need to, if that's what you want to do, you have to focus on that inside your group, outside your group, and then provide value and concentrate on that.
Wonderful. Awesome tips. I feel so hopeful about growing my Facebook group even more because you've provided so much meat and potatoes. I really appreciate that, Nina. And I would be totally remiss in doing our audience a disservice and also myself as a free spirit who lacks discipline, as you and I discussed. I would be remiss not to talk about a little bit, go into workflow, because I know that you're an expert at that. That is your natural God-given talent. It has to be because no one, like, goes out and kind of finds, you know, ways to be more efficient. Can you talk a little bit about workflow, the definition of having a really good workflow, and give us some tips on that?
Yeah, so workflow is, and I've went over this a lot of times, and how do I format this and explain to people, but it's your resources and it's your procedure. So processes, procedures, and resources. I'm going to give you a quick overview and then I'll tell you how you can kind of help this in your business. A lot of us, say I hire an assistant, a VA, and I say, we contact our clients to welcome them each time they come. That's a process. That's what we do, right? So overall, there's a goal. We want to welcome them. But what we fail to do is give them procedures. When we call them, we say A, B, and C. Here's the script. If they have questions, we answer this, and then we put it in the spreadsheet. So those steps are what a lot of people miss, is how do you want them to do it? What are the steps? What are the, you know, how do you get into that? And the resources can be anything from technology. It can be a person. It can be a building. But those three together and actually looking at things ahead of time and helping your team with actually having those conversations about what's the process, what's the procedure, and what resources do we need, and then documenting them, that's how you save money. That's how you save time, frustration, and that's how you keep your team loving you and not frustrated with, I didn't get that information, or I didn't know that's what I was supposed to do. So it actually came from years of being a business analyst and project manager and doing integrations with software and just seeing that small businesses need those same kind of discipline. So now I go to businesses and solopreneurs or small businesses and just help them work on their processes and the procedures and figuring out what resources fit and how to use them to save money.
So awesome. I love it so much. So what are some things, you know, maybe I can't afford to hire you, right, because I'm perhaps just getting started in business. So can you give me some tips on how to kick that off? What are some, you know, things that I can do to get my processes and procedures in place?
You know what, the first thing to do, honestly, is brainstorming. So when you have, so say you have, I'm trying to think of an example. So we'll start with social media. So you have your group, right? And you want to build your group. So you're going to just three boxes, processes, procedures, and resources. So you're going to think of, one, how do you want to get people in there, right? Once they come in, what are you going to do? Are you going to ask them questions? Are you going to welcome them? You know, after they're in, how do you keep them going? So all those questions that you think you have or you might have about creating a process, just write them down. And then once you make those decisions, this is where people stop, write some procedures. So once they come in, this that I want to use to welcome people. You take that and put it in a notebook somewhere, but document it somewhere, right? Do a video. And then after that, what resources do I need? Do I need to use Canva? Do I need, you know, a video camera? Do I need a VA to do this? And that's just a simple process, you know, and workflows that you're creating. But step by step, what do I want to do? And just think, if I had to hand this over to someone else, or I'm sick, or my VA's out on vacation, can someone else handle this process? Is there enough information for someone else to do this? And if you start just writing things down and getting them down and thinking about those questions, after a while, once you do grow your brand and it's time to hire someone, you can say, this is what we do when someone joins our group. Just look through it, see if you have any questions, and if they do have questions, write it down again. So it's just that, it's just thinking through things.
Wonderful. Nina, this interview was absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for being here. I am confident that our listeners will be able to take all of this information, from growing a Facebook group to getting started. Maybe you're just now getting started as an entrepreneur, and you're just, you know, interested in leveraging your personal brand, to having a better workflow if you've been in business for some time. I know that our listeners, our audience, will be able to take all of this information and implement it and grow their brands. And Nina, you know, I just wanted to end things off. Would you like to share three nuggets or takeaways that we discussed today, your top three takeaways?
Yes. And let me just think of, so one, and I'm not sure how much we got into this, but I want to make sure people know that groups are rewarding. You have to give value and think about it as something, you know, that you can give, right? And believe me, your group will grow, people will engage, all of that. The second one is that when you are doing anything as far as a personal brand, you have to listen to yourself, but you also have to listen to your audience and how they're changing and change with them. So being authentic and really having conversations with people, and getting them on the phone or in the inbox is a great way to just realize what you're doing to impact people, because you don't know until you speak with them. And then the third one is with the workflows, write it down. Write down your questions. Write down your ideas. Write down every step. I know it can be, you know, daunting sometimes, and that's why I do videos. I record the video, and I can show someone some videos. But start now. So when that team grows and when you have someone to hand it over to, you have enough time to just say, here, this is what I need you to do. Please take it off my plate. So you can start now with your processes and your procedures and picking the right resources for yourself.
Awesome. Now, where can we find you online, Nina?
So if you Google Socially Nina, that will take you to my YouTube channel, Facebook, all of those kind of things. But I also love to have anyone just join the Pink Boss Club, pinkboss.club, and that's where you'll find me most of the time. But everywhere else, Socially Nina.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again. Thank you so much for sharing just such wonderful information. You really went deep, and I'm just confident that all of us will be able to actually apply everything that you shared today. Thank you so much, Nina.
Thank you for having me. This was actually really fun. I appreciate it.
Now to our listeners, I want to hear from you. What do you think? Are you using a Facebook group in order to grow your business? Did anything Nina touch on today resonate with you? Let me know. Go ahead and send your feedback to brandingwithpurposepodcast@gmail.com. We do have an Ask Shantha segment in each show. Listeners send me their comments and questions about branding and social media to brandingwithpurposepodcast@gmail.com. Today we're going to touch on the idea of paid social media versus organic social media. A lot of times I get questions from people on, do I actually have to pay for social media? Do I have to pay for ads? Should I pay for ads? And the one thing that I say is, no marketing is free. Whether it's exchange of dollars or your time, marketing is going to have to cost you something if you are to leverage it and actualize the real benefit from it. You're going to have to invest something. So the definition of organic social media marketing is using free tools provided by each social network to build a social community and interact with it. This can come by way of sharing posts and responding to customer comments. That is the way you're going to really solidify your relationships, keep those relationships with your online community. On the other hand, paid social involves paying to display advertising, whatever the format is, whether it's text, image, or video, or even sponsored messages to social network users based on their profile. This is seen quite often through leveraging Facebook ads. So with paid social, you're really going to tap into people who may never even heard of your brand, who may be looking for what you have to offer, and you're going to serve them up content so that they can finally get a chance to experience your brand through something like a Facebook ad. Your social media strategy should have a balance of both. Organic is ideal for community management, community involvement, community engagement. Your organic really will have the biggest impact on people who already know, like, and trust your brand. You don't need paid campaigns to actually listen to what people are saying about you or to you. You definitely want to do that and take an organic approach with that. However, you can use paid campaigns to reinforce your messaging, to actually share things that you've shared via organic posts. You can reinforce by running an ad with those posts so that new people get an experience with your brand. New people can get your messaging. New people will hear of your services. So paid social marketing is important when it comes to getting your message seen and heard by new people when you want to grow your leads and get a greater reach for your brand. There's definitely a difference, and your marketing strategy should have a mix of both. So, for answers to all of your branding questions, just like this one, you can send social media questions to brandingwithpurposepodcast@gmail.com. I would love to answer any questions that you have. The Branding with Purpose podcast can be heard on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and you can check out show promos on Facebook Live. We'll be going live on the Up to Me Radio Network soon. You can connect with me directly at www.competitivebrand.com. You can check out all my social media links or just Google me, Shantha Wetterhahn, and please feel free to connect with me on social media. Join us on our next show. We will definitely, no doubt about it, be talking with another expert on how to elevate your brand, and we'll be doing this on purpose. So thank you so much for being with me today. It's been quite a pleasure speaking with Nina. I got so much good stuff from her today, and I'm confident that you did too. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you chose to spend your time with me today to focus on your brand and your purpose, and I truly, truly appreciate you for that. Tune in next time. Thank you.